It's not a cartoon. It's anime. Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. You know, half the squad is here.
We're here. You know.
At the squad, Brennan, Ice is not. Ice can't be here. He's actually in the chat right now, but he actually can't speak because he got some stuff he got to take care of at his place of where he's doing his stuff, his place of business. And Brennan's not here because he's just a straight up hoe. He's a hoe. He doesn't want any of these spoilers. Matter of fact,
feet up on vacation right now.
Yeah. Matter of fact, Cam's a hoe.
Ducked out.
Cam is not here. We got our boy Amir. Amir is
helping us out.
Amir is doing our stuff today.
Doesn't care about the spoilers.
Yeah, he doesn't care. He cool. He chilling. Got the do-rag on. Like, man, get on with this bullshit, man. but yeah, man, we out here. You know, we doing. We talk our shit. We do one-off. We do debates. You know, we do. Make sure you join the Patreon.
Yes.
Patreon.com/animation. That's right. SHUN animation. Is it just animation or animation pod? I keep forgetting.
It's animation, I believe. Yeah,
and, it's animation. Yeah.
The Shun gang is growing.
Yes,
you know, we're up to 39 as of recording, so we're 11 away from the Cam. Our first little benchmark that we've been working up towards. So spread the word, tell your friends, get on board.
Yeah, don't play any games, man. And we got a great show for y'all today, man. You know,
very excited.
We got
this.
Some news in a second, but let me just let y'all know we get into you heavy spoilers.
Heavy.
Those of you listening, because y'all might have forgot or whatever. Y'all must have forgot, like Roy Jones. But hey, heavy spoilers about Demon Slayer, the manga, is going to spoil everything for the anime. So if you do not, I repeat, if you do not want to know any of that stuff, any of who's going to get smoked out in this bitch, you know, who would demons do what, the ending, any of that, please just step out, man. Step your whole ass out.
Come back next week.
We'll be covering
Bleach again.
Yeah, man.
We'll be back into it.
And all honesty, it's going to be some heavy spoilers. But this shit ain't going to be covered for the next. We got to at least another 4 or 5 years before Demon Slayer is probably going
to
be finished.
We definitely have a few. So, I mean, you may even listen to the episode and totally forget everything that happened. And then, you know, you'll just be like watching it for the first time. So,
or just let it run on low sound so we get the views. So we get the listens.
You know?
You know, so we get the downloads.
There you go. I appreciate that. That's a good call.
So, like I said, make sure y'all join us on patreon.com/animation. I'll be doing a movie night at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Like I promise all the time. And you want to jump into anime news, Rob?
Yeah, we'll jump into the anime news. So we got a couple stories here. Keeping in the theme of Demon Slayer, and especially the upcoming season, we have Demon Slayer to air the Entertainment District in Season 2 with no changes, no edits, all of it, exactly as it was written. So to get in, you might be thinking like, well, why would it be otherwise? And we'll get into that. So Fuji TV, the station that broadcast the Demon Slayer show in Japan, announced that it will be airing the second season of Demon Slayer without any changes to the story, editing, or any of the animation, and nothing will be censored as far as they're concerned. Now, this came up because there have been complaints arising from concerned parents who apparently let their kids watch Demon Slayer. And, you know, because the main story arc takes place in the red light district where prostitution is legal and common, they were upset. And they were a little worried that, you know, maybe there would be some things that were inappropriate for their kids.
Man.
And Fuji TV said that, you know, they will still put the show through its normal standards and practices, but they have no plans to alter what they have been sent by the animation studio. They have no plans to edit the content. And part of what they said weighed into that decision is the fact that apparently the show, when it airs, it's 11:15 p.m. So, I mean.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's late night viewing as it is.
Parents, do your job. Put your kids to bed.
So, I mean, the new season will debut this upcoming fall, winter, in a continuous half year run. So, I'm not, from what I've seen, there's not going to be like this Attack on Titan. Okay, final season, but it's only half of it. Seems like it's going to be a full, continuous half year run for this particular season.
Okay.
So we'll get into more of, you know, what we're looking forward to the season a bit later in the episode. But I mean, what are your thoughts on the cries for censorship of the show?
I think certain anime, certain anime shouldn't be, like, I look at something like Dragon Ball Super, right?
When
you look at the old school Dragon Ball Z, bloody,
mm-hmm.
cussing here and there.
Sure.
Couple bitches, dams, hells.
Yep.
I don't, like, some anime is cool to be teenage age or above.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? TV mature, not mature, I guess mature, but like, if you're doing TV 14, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever it is, TV or whatever it is, something 17. It's like, that's fine. I feel like, to be honest with you, this show out the gate, you look at the movie was like, had suicide.
Oh, yeah.
If you
episode one has dead kids.
Dead children, like, spoiler, like we said, the spoilers in this whole thing, even for the movie, spoilers. Bro, Tanjiro had to kill himself. Mad time.
Many times.
He had to kill himself multiple times. Yeah. And then one time he almost killed himself and actually really killed himself.
Yep.
So it's like, if you're going, let's take the kids to go see the movie. Oh, suicide, but prostitution, oh. I don't think they ain't gonna show no real titties in there, are they?
They don't, and that's the thing. That's what drove me a little crazy about this, is clearly these people don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Even in reading this section, and even reviewing it for what we're about to talk about today, they just basically acknowledge that sex is a thing that happens, that, you know, people right. have, and this is a particular time and a particular place where prostitution was legal, and people just seem to be upset that that's just a thing that exists or existed. And it's not like there's, from what I remember, no nudity.
Yeah.
There's certainly no sexual intercourse that's depicted. It's just the fact that it takes place in a red light district that seems to be what a lot of people were upset about.
I don't want to hear shit from the parents. Y'all out here letting your wise kids, like certain anime, and they out here grabbing ass. They out here, there's so many older dudes always going, oh, look at that schoolgirl. And y'all be letting them watch that shit. Man, shut the fuck up. and let this shit ride, man.
Yeah, I hear you. And I mean, this is a question I originally intended for Ice. I mean, he's actually in the chat. So Ice, if you're listening and you can throw in your answer, we'll read it out for the podcast. But I mean, if you're a parent, you know, what do you, given the level of violence and horror on the show, I mean, what do you consider appropriate for children in the first place? Would sexuality being a part of the show really make you change your mind? Or is this something that you wouldn't have even let your kids watch in the first place? Like, especially when it comes to a comparison of, like, sex and violence.
Yeah.
Which would really be worse?
Yeah, I guess I just gonna need time to answer. But if you're even asking me, I mean, I don't have children, but that's always a tough thing. I kind of do want my children to be children, but then we take our kids to go see Avengers and shit like that. At the end of the day, that's still violent. Like,
for sure.
Whatever you want to say, even though it's action heroes and it's not a lot of blood in there, it's still violent.
Oh,
that's tough, man. I think something like Demon Slayer, it depends how old my kid is. If my kid is around 8 or 9 years old, I might not necessarily watch Demon Slayer with them.
Yeah.
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 I think around maybe 13, 14.
This definitely feels to me like teenage. A mid to late teen type show.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, because it's gruesome. There's definitely a lot of adult themes, I think, that get tackled on the show.
Absolutely.
And, you know, in the mid to late teens, like, I think a lot of parents want to, like, I think the parents want to believe that their kids, like, aren't into this stuff, don't know about this stuff, but like mid to late teens, like kids are talking. They're at high school level, like they know about sex. They've probably been online at this point. They've probably found what's online at this point.
Bro, to be honest with you, if your kid has a cell, like a smartphone, there's a high chance that they might know what shit is in elementary to middle school because at the end of the day, there's always some kids that are just. Like, what my parents used to call a little fast-ass little person over there, a little fast-ass little girl, right? That was happening in elementary. So there's always, now they have these smartphones to get access to, like, the porn sites and stuff like that. Or, like, freaking Twitter porn. Like, porn's on Twitter. Anybody can access it. They don't stop you from watching Twitter porn. They don't say, are you 18?
No, you can just keep scrolling and then run into it.
You run right into that shit.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, oh, man, it's just... kids are being exposed to so much at a young age. I'm going to be a little bit. I don't know what I'm going to do when I have children. I'm going to have to just feel that shit out, to be honest.
No, for sure. And Ice did respond. He says, I see his son does watch Demon Slayer and he's 12. And it's on the parent to teach them right and wrong. And so I can think that's something that, like, especially if it's just like, you know, this is something you can watch, but you don't watch it alone. You watch it with me. So we can talk about it.
Right.
We can have a conversation either before or after the episode to help them process, to help them understand.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these things are depicted in a way that is just like, well, that's how it happened, but that's not how things work now. You know what I mean?
Right. That's a good way to, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting dynamic. So that's our first story. The second story, a little bit of a guessing game coming up. I'm going to have our first question coming up like right at the top. So five manga series appeared on the New York Times most recent graphic novel bestseller list. So the first question I'm just going to lead off before I really even get into it.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you one of them because this is a manga I'd never heard of. It's called Censor. And that came in at number six.
Okay.
Do you think you can name the other four titles that made the bestseller list?
The bestseller list for this year or just overall?
This last month.
This last month?
This last month, four more manga titles made the New York Times bestseller list for graphic novels.
They're not new titles? Is it going to be old or new?
I mean, not all of them are necessarily like, oh, this just dropped, but they're all like current things that are kind of going on right now.
Let's go One Piece.
One Piece is not on there.
The new Bleach one that just dropped?
Not Bleach either.
Chainsaw Man?
Chainsaw Man is on there. Chainsaw Man Volume 6 came in at number 4. I'll give you one more strike and before I tell you the other ones.
Shit. Tokyo Revengers?
Tokyo Revengers is not on the list. So, to give you the rest, at number 9 was My Hero Academia Volume 28, which is the second month on the list. And last month it was number 8. So you had Censor at number 6, which I already mentioned. Mm-hmm. Chainsaw Man Volume 6, which you called, is at number 4. Mm-hmm. Demon Slayer Volume 23, the last one, came in at number 3.
So that's the last?
The last one. So that was the last, like, the covered the Muzan fight, you know, the epilogue,
it.
All that. That is number 3 right now. And then Jujutsu Kaisen, maybe. Volume 11, okay. Came in at number 2 on that list. So a lot of titles that we're familiar with, a lot of manga and anime that we've covered on the show. Mm. This list actually only started back in 2019, but it's clear manga is popular enough to consistently land in the top 15. Last month, the first volume of Chainsaw Man was number 2 on the list, and the first volume of Attack on Titan was number 14. That was last month. So surprisingly to me, none of the other titles on the list are as recognizable. So outside of manga, like, there's no DC titles on there. There's no Marvel titles on there that I could see that made the list. Most of the other titles are actually, like, seem to be like kids series. There's one literally called Dog Man, which looks like it's just like Captain Underpants kind of thing.
There we go.
And another one called Cat Kid, which is like, you know, it looks like it's the same thing. It looks like it's the same series.
Cat Kid and Dog Man.
Yep.
What was that one called? Was it called Dog Nigga?
That was what it was called. That was a manga though too.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. And then apart from that, you had, there was a 13th volume of this title called The Bad Guys. The fourth volume of The Babysitter's Little Sister series was also on the list. And the second volume of a Five Nights at Freddy's tie-in comic. That rounded out the rest of this top 15. So it's like manga and like serious, like adult, like Chainsaw Man, Jujutsu Kaisen, like Demon Slayer, and like My Hero, I would say, is probably the most kiddie of those titles.
Yeah.
And then literally like Dog Man, Cat Kid, Five Nights at Freddy's, which is really interesting to me. But like, so I don't think it's too much of a surprise to see some of these manga titles have appeared so high on this list. You know, some of these, like we've said, have been very popular. But what does it say to you that most of the American fare that's on here is aimed at young children and maybe one or two, like the Five Nights at Freddy's, which is like a horror thing? It's like aimed at maybe young adults.
I don't know, man.
I mean, yeah, I think it does. At least personally, I think it speaks to kind of like what we had said before, where it's like, I don't think that animation and or illustration is necessarily taken, I don't know if I want to say as seriously, but here in America, we generally tend to see it as children's entertainment, which clearly, by the sales from these other titles, these mangas, like, there's an audience out there for more adult fare.
Yeah, I don't understand, but it's funny to see, like, the comic book or a manga world seems like it's bigger than even the anime world.
Yeah.
To a lot of people. Maybe because of the collection of the manga and is a collector's item type thing, but I don't know. I get a kick out of the anime more anyways, and I feel like, I don't know. Well,
yeah, I guess it's just interesting to me that, like, you know, you, like I said, you don't see any Marvel or DC stuff on here. Like, they certainly have their own share of, like, you know, you can have your Spider-Man stories that you don't really get too serious. You can have some Spider-Man stories that get very serious.
Yeah.
There's plenty of titles like Punisher or something like that
that's
going to get
crazy,
plenty bloody, yeah, plenty of action, but, like, you don't really see those titles cracking the top 15 here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now, granted, that could just be, like, all right, maybe nothing came out from Punisher or whatever, but it was surprising to me, at least, that you, like, not one, like, major Marvel character, not, like, no Batman?
Yeah, I feel like Batman would definitely be on there. I feel like Batman would be, should definitely be our, at least our top.
Right?
Yeah, that's weird. You just said Punisher. That's made me think I want to see a Punisher anime now.
That would be pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Punisher would be a dope anime. Like, that, I feel like that's one of those, because I know they did, because we watched the X-Men anime, which was, you know.
Okay, they had a Wolverine one. They had a Batman one, too, right? Like, the Samurai
there
one?
There is a Batman anime. I've heard it's not great. And
think,
that's when
Keith
he, like,
it,
goes
yeah.
back in time, and I think there's, like, some CG animation in there. Yeah. But I know there's the Wolverine one, right? I know they have an Iron Man one.
Iron Man one, too, yeah.
But, no, I agree. A Punisher would be I think, a really fun anime, especially if they did it, like, it's still that same character. It's still Frank Castle, but, like, he goes to Japan. Maybe he's, like, hunting down Yakuza.
Yo.
Something like that. You know, he gets involved. Because, I mean, that could be a really fun story, and obviously, Punisher, you can go to a lot of places, do a lot of weird things with Punisher.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, that's deep.
Yeah, Wise One AB says Batman Ninja is pretty mid, so... Oh, and Slow RC3 says there's a Blade anime similar to the X-Men one we watched as well. So Blade might be a fun one.
I hope they didn't mess it up, because Blade would be perfect for anime, I feel like.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. All right, well, that's what I got for anime news this week. You know, just a couple quick fun stories. Yeah, that's what we got.
Thank you, Rob, for your questions as always. And like I said, we're going to be talking about Demon Slayer manga, spoilers, our favorite things. Heavy, heavy spoilers if you didn't leave yet.
It's your last chance.
It's your last chance to leave. Don't jump on our page with your blood clot crying. We don't want to hear it. We about to go in, man. So this is the question portion of the show. First question is actually Ice's question. Everybody except him, like, he was all in for Zenitsu after season one.
Yes.
He was one of the most annoying characters in the world. But after finishing the manga, how do you feel about him now? And I don't even know Ice even put that answer, but he's always loved him. But I guess it's more for us too.
Yeah, sure. And Ice, like I said, is in the chat. Ice, if you want to throw your answer in there, obviously. I mean, it's understood that you liked him before. I assume it means he likes him even more now. But, I mean, you want to take this one first?
Yeah, I mean, I love him because eventually the crying kind of cut down a lot.
Yeah.
And then he has a boss-ass moment. He has a really, really boss-ass moment. And, my thing was, all he had to do for me was just cut down the crying. Something was, I understand that he's kind of the comic relief,
right?
So I can understand a little bit of crying here and there, but yeah, after the anime was, after the manga was finished, I liked him. I liked all the character. I liked all the big three in that sense, like the Inosuke, Zenitsu, and Tanjiro.
Yeah.
How about you?
Yeah, he's fine for me. I don't like necessarily love him, or I definitely don't hate him. And I would say that Zenitsu even grew on me as the season went on.
Yeah.
Especially because of his comedic ability.
Yes.
And even when he found out Tanjiro was, you know, carrying around Nezuko on his back, and he's just like,
yeah,
you mean to tell me you've had a girl in that backpack this whole time? Like, I have to kill you.
I have to kill
you,
bro.
It's honor now. Like, I have to kill you. He's a funny character, but he does have his moments where he gets a little grating. Obviously, I think what his toughest break for me is not necessarily his crying, but his cowardice. Mm. You know, obviously that was the part that was a little tough for me, because you're just like, come on, man. Like, you've seen him when he's sleeping. Like, he's got it.
Yeah.
It's in his bones.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the talent. He just needs to believe in himself. And by the end of it, he does.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, even in the movie, in the train movie, he's active, but he's asleep the whole time.
Yeah.
But by the very end, when he's fighting off, when he's fighting his buddy there, not his buddy, but his old classmate, who's become a demon at that point, he's awake.
Yeah.
He's doing it on his own. He even, like, develops his own move. The reason why that kind of keeps me from going totally all in and like, oh man, I love this guy. I wish he. Because his whole thing is like, oh, he really can't master any of the moves other than the first one.
Right.
And he eventually does come up with his own move.
Yeah.
I just would have liked to have seen him get a handle on some of those other techniques.
I agree with you.
I wish he was a little bit less of a one-trick pony.
Yeah.
It's a great trick.
Yeah.
But he really only has that one, and then he kind of uses a special technique like the once, maybe twice.
Yeah, I agree. I do wish he would have just... I wish he would have got over that into where now, you know, he's kind of like them. He's fully awake, but I guess they wanted to keep him kind of separate. You have your comic relief, because you could have still kept him comic relief.
Oh yeah,
he doesn't have to just be asleep now to get the work done, because you know you have Inosuke, who's pretty much like he's somewhat of a Bakugo a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you know you have your leader in Tanjiro, but yeah, I mean yeah, I guess he's cool.
I'm glad he's on the show.
Yeah, yeah. He's not my favorite character still out of the three.
No, I would agree. I still prefer Inosuke. Mm-hmm. He's probably my favorite of the two, like, you know, sidekicky type characters of the two. I prefer him. Because I think he's also funny.
Yeah.
But he's also very much like, I'm about the work.
Yeah.
And he's not quite he definitely fills that role of a Bakugo where he's like a rival.
Yeah.
But he still wants to... He doesn't come across as obnoxious to me as Bakugo does, where Bakugo... What bothers me about characters like a Bakugo or even like a Vegeta is that, like, no, I have to do this all on my own.
Yeah.
And it gets to a point where I'm just like, dude, it's clear that you can't.
Right.
You need to work with the team.
Yeah.
And having that character develop that aspect is what's makes them interesting to me.
Yeah.
And he gets that a little bit sooner than the rest. But yeah, as Ice puts in there, Zenitsu's still the man. Yeah, I mean he's a good character.
I personally think his power is the best.
Yeah.
If you're going off like his like what like that the thunderclap and the way his stuff looks, or even in the anime, I mean even in the manga, like the way it's just it's drawn, it's like it looks dope as fuck. Like I like his stuff better than Tanjiro's and Inosuke's, to be honest. And I wish like there was like another Thunder Hashira or whatever the case may be that we could have got.
Yeah.
But it's so we can see actually all the whatever the powers of the case may be. But
yeah, and I'll get into that a little bit later with one of my answers to one of my questions. But
I guess we can go to the next question. Who is your favorite Upper Moon? My favorite Upper Moon was Upper Moon number 3. The one that beat. I mean, it's all good. It's all good.
I mean, clearly I agree. He's so fucking dope. But go ahead.
Yeah, he's fucking crazy. If you're reading the manga, like I think he socks out. He socks off number 2's jaw, doesn't he?
He takes off the top of his head.
Yeah, he's just like, bro, I don't fuck with you.
Yeah, he's like, puts a hand on his shoulder and he just knocks the top of his head off. Like, do not fucking touch me.
Yeah. So I'm all with him. He's super dope. I like the fact that his backstory is kind of jacked up, and mm-hmm. you know you kind of feel for him.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean he took out Rengoku, you know, at the end of the day, and he put up a hell of a fight. He wasn't no slouch at all in these streets.
No, I mean I'll let you keep going. But because he was my pick as well. Because on top of for all the reasons you said, but also the fact that like they don't actually take him out. He takes himself out.
Well, yes, exactly. Yeah.
He's just like he sees Tamioka and Tanjiro helping each other, and it reminds him of, oh yeah, I was a protector. I used my strength to protect people, and I'm wasting my potential. And he becomes so ashamed that he's just like, I have to take myself out, and I can appreciate that. But also, what I think is interesting when I was kind of doing my research for this, somebody I read somewhere and that reminded me, he also never ate any women. Which is like a lot of the other demons say, like, you are severely limiting yourself power-wise by basically only eating strong and powerful people.
Yeah.
Like, so many of the other demons get powerful and, like, stack their numbers just because they're eating whoever.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's got that line of just that he won't cross.
Yeah.
He's, like, the one demon that I'm like, all right, like.
Some type of moral there or something.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
Yeah.
But you see how he got there, and he's, like, not quite as bad as the rest.
Did he, in his backstory, was there a reason why he didn't?
Because he was...
I forgot.
I was reading about this a little bit. He was basically part of a martial arts school, and, like, he was saying it was his duty to, like, protect the weak and fight the strong.
Right.
Like, his dad was sick, I believe, so he was trying to, like... that was a big part of it. But eventually, he had a fiance, and his whole school basically got wiped out because another martial arts school poisoned their well.
Right.
Because they knew they couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
So he's just, so that's part of why he detests like the weak, because the weak resort to things like poisoning and stuff like that. So he's just like, I'm not going to fuck with the weak. Fuck that. Like, I take on people that are strong opponents. I'm not going to stoop to that sort of level.
Yeah.
Which is also like, kind of like, okay, like this guy has like a code at least, which I can get behind.
Yeah, because the rest of them really didn't. They didn't give a shit.
But to kind of, just to give, my second choice would probably be Upper Moon 1.
Yeah.
Is probably my second choice for my favorite. And just to, for a very similar thing, like he, or for very similar reasons, he had a code. And as far as like, he respected the Demon Slayers because he had been one.
Yeah.
And I thought his backstory with even his twin, or not his twin brother, his younger brother, who is the samurai with the earrings that Tanjiro has. You know, I thought that was a really interesting backstory. The fact that he was a Demon Slayer, the fact that like it was tied into his fear of mortality, that like, and even wanting to be strong, and his like shame that basically all the horrible things he had done to only still not be quite as strong as his younger brother was really compelling and really interesting. And obviously, he took a ton of motherfucking Hashiras down with him.
Yeah,
this dude was like, to me, I mean, for a good reason, the scariest of the rest of the moons.
Absolutely.
Whereas, like, Akaza, I like him because I like him.
Yeah.
But this dude, Kokushibo, the upper rank one, was just, like, a fucking monster.
Well, yeah, that's why we have, like, the ranking, too. We'll get to the rankings a little bit later. Yeah. But, yeah, he, like I said, Upper Moon 3 was my favorite. Ice actually has Upper Moon number 2.
Really? Okay.
That motherfucker was, Upper Moon number 2 was, one, he was a weird dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is what I said. I said he played no games while playing a bunch of games at the same time. Mm-hmm. He literally was fucking with everybody.
Yes.
Cracking jokes. He was being funny. He didn't take anybody really that serious. He's like, there haven't been a more fearful, what did he say? I haven't been more fearful of somebody with a handheld fan since I was a kid at church. That's funny. That's real.
That is funny.
And that was his way. But it was just like, yeah, this dude was no damn joke. But we'll get into why I like a certain pillar and things like that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because his whole thing, too, he was, like, running a cult, right? Where he was, like, and the thing, too, that I think is unsettling about, too, he wasn't my favorite. I think I have him maybe in, well, we'll get to the rankings later.
Yeah.
But the fact that he has this thing that his whole deal as far as the upper moons, like, the fact that he has a smile on his face the whole time, the fact that he doesn't take anything seriously, I think is very unsettling and very creepy.
Yeah.
So I see what Ice is getting at there. Yeah.
All right. So next question is, who is your favorite Hashira? Man, so this was tough for me. This was tough. When I started to look back, I had Giyu the whole time.
Yeah.
But I have to change it up.
Really? Okay. I mean, this is a question I feel like there's no wrong answers on it.
Yeah. I think there's a few wrong answers.
Really?
There's just some weak ass Hashiras. There's some whack ass Hashiras. And you'll see my list when we go to any. It might not be popular for people, but.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see.
I got to go with the Mist Pillar. That's yours?
Yes!
So I'm sorry.
Take so, each other, but go ahead. Go
so,
ahead.
So I'll say, you know what? You know what? You can have the Mist Pillar.
Thank you.
Okay, all I'm right. going to go with somebody else okay. that I think is super, super dope.
Go for it.
I'm going to go with the Insect Pillar.
I don't knock that either. She's pretty sweet.
The Insect Pillar, I guess power-wise, to a lot of people, they like, oh, she's weak power wise, and they didn't really, it wasn't fucking with her sword and stuff like that, and whatever the case may be, she knows. I think she can't even necessarily cut off a head, right?
No, she can't.
She can't. She wasn't strong enough to cut off a head. But she is the fucking reason why they technically win this shit.
She's the reason they take out number 2, at least.
She's the reason why they take out number 2. But remember, she's the one that created the poison to That's age Muzan.
That's true.
Without her, they don't win.
That's right.
She made sure before she left this earth. She was just like, yo, I'm going to be a legend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a part of two of the biggest wins, technically. Beating number 2. Well, number 1 is a big win, too. But number 2 was a beast.
Yes.
And she pretty much, like, inflicted him with, like, the main wound to take him out. And then she created the poison so when Muzan ages, what, 50 years and every minute or something like that?
It's,
either 50 years a second or 50 years a minute or some shit like that?
Yeah.
Bro. When you that's how you do it. when you have somebody that's, if you're gonna have somebody that's not as strong, but they're poison, you gotta make them lethal in some type of way. And they made her to where she got busy with that.
Yeah.
So I have to respect her. I gotta show her love. And I just think her character was dope too. Even when she showed up in the season one, she kind of showed up. And to give you was kind of say, hey, man, he had to put her in a headlock. She's like, yo, why are you doing this, man? Like, I just want to talk to the demon real quick, the girl. I just want to talk to her. Can I kill her? Can I, please?
Yeah, yeah.
He's just like, yeah, you can't. Like, come on, man. Like, I liked her character. She kind of just like, she seemed like she's super nice. I like the way her design looked, too. Like, her eyes look pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if that's the case, I would go, like you said, I feel like there's like four you can't go wrong with.
Okay, yeah, sure.
But go ahead. Who's your favorite?
Well, as I was saying, Miss Tashira, Muichiro Tokito, he's my favorite. He's the youngest Tashira, even younger than Tanjiro, really. Mm-hmm. He mastered his sword style in 2 months. And the only other person that did that was the Stone Pillar.
Yes.
He's the only other person to have done that. He's actually a descendant of the Upper Moon One.
Yes.
Which makes him partly why he's such an incredible sword fighter. Mm-hmm. He's got, I think, really great character development, too. Turning from, like, basically an aloof asshole to, like, a kind and caring protector when he remembers his life before becoming a demon slayer, when he remembers his backstory of his twin brother. He kills Upper Five Moon on his own.
On his fucking own.
On his own.
He's 14.
He's a child.
He's 14 years old.
He kills Upper Moon 4 on his own and lives to tell the tale.
Yes.
You know, and relatively unscathed. Is able to fight again. Like, we can't say that about, like, almost any of the other Hashiras that fight one of the Upper Moons. He manages to see the invisible world, much like Tanjiro, which not all of the Hashira managed to do. And he helps in killing the Upper Moon 1 by persisting, even after, number one, getting an arm cut off, then getting his leg cut off, then getting literally chopped in half. And he manages to still get his sword to turn red, slow down the healing of Upper Moon 1 long enough to get his defeat done and the people that he's working with land the final blows. I mean, he's a role player. He puts it all out there. I mean, for somebody that young, for a 14-year-old.
Yeah.
Like, this dude needs to take Shinji under his wing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I agree. Just real quick, you can keep going in a second, but I didn't see you didn't put your favorite. You put, like, your top five, so I don't know if your top five, number one, is considered your favorite also, but you didn't put your favorite pillar in there. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm with you. That's why I had him actually, because I was like, man, Giyu. Then I was just like, wait a second. Going back on this shit, the Mist Pillar and the Insect Pillar, they put in fucking work.
They did. They absolutely did.
They put in work. And a few others. I think, what was it? I think it's the Wind Pillar, too.
Wind Pillar is, he helps out with that fight against number one, the Stone Pillar.
Yeah.
They are both involved in that fight against number one, along with Genya, who's the other, like, student with the Mohawk.
Yeah.
It's like those four against Upper Moon number one. And then with Upper Moon two, it's the Insect Pillar.
Yeah.
And her, like, student, the little bug girl.
Yeah, the bug girl, yeah.
And then Inosuke.
Well, wait, so I thought the Wind Pillar was the one that got chopped up.
No.
Because something does happen to him too, where he has to, like, because
one of the only, it's only him and Giyu that make it. Everybody else goes. It's him, the Wind Pillar, and Giyu are the Water Pillar, the only two surviving Hashira. Well, along with the Sound Hashira, who's like, loses an arm. But it's only like the three of them that.
But I thought, I know he didn't die, but I remember, because I wrote it down, it's saying that he got.
He might have gotten wounded.
Yeah, like, it says he took crazy damage, and he would have killed, that would have killed any other pillar. And he was still fighting.
He got cut up in his midsection. I was reading about this earlier in the fight against number one.
Yeah.
He basically gets his entire midsection, like, cut up. And number one's just like, if you move, all of your insides are going to come out, kind of thing. And he has to, like, take a minute to basically stitch himself back up while the stone pillar, I think, duels him.
Okay. But, yeah. He actually also, he's unconscious and he keeps fighting.
Yes.
Yes. That's fucking gangster to me.
It's very gangster, yes.
That's crazy. All right, so let's just,
yeah, because I think it was the Stone Hashira, like, I was reading about that. Like, he keeps attacking, like, after the dude goes down.
Yeah.
And the Stone Pillar catches him, is like, you can stop. And he's like, no, this dude's unconscious. He's just attacking off of, like, pure instinct at this point.
Yeah.
Which is dope.
Which is super dope. So let's go into which was the saddest death. If you want to take a second, I think Ice has his answer here.
Yeah, sure.
We go to Ice.
Oh, yeah, Ice says the stone. Stone Pillar is his favorite.
So it is his favorite. So, yeah, so go back to Ice's answer. Stone Pillar, blind dude.
Yeah.
I think he's the oldest.
Yep.
And he has the what is the little?
He's got like the flail. He's got like the big like spike ball on one side, and then like an axe on the other side.
Yeah, he's always he has like the tears coming down his eyes, and he has his hands kind of like praying. And he's, you know, he has a dope design too. I like his design.
He does. Yeah, he's got that big scar across his head.
And you knew he was a beast because even when he walked in, like he stepped up, they were like, "Yo, we feel his power. This he's the guy."
Yeah, he's the only one other than the Mishira, like I was saying, that mastered his style in 2 months.
Yeah.
So he's definitely one of the strongest, most skilled Hashira.
And I think he got his thing, weapon to turn red also, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think most of them did.
Yeah, towards the end, yeah. Most of them ended up getting their weapon to turn, to end up turning red. So,
yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing here in the chat, we got a lot of stones. We got a couple winds. We got a Mist and Wind Pillars are top dog. So, yeah, you know, get some agreements in there.
Okay. Least favorite. So go. So Ice put for toughest death, Rengoku.
Really? Okay.
But Rengoku, we got a chance to see it in the movie.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, that might make it hit harder too. I think when everybody else's kind of death gets animated, it'll be tough. I gotta go. Ah, man. I guess I might end up taking yours again. I don't know.
Might. You might. Rengoku's a tough one because I feel like that was the first like real death. Like, that was the first real character that we saw. Like, hey, this guy's going to be probably around for a while. Like, he's going to train these guys. He's telling them he's building them up. And then...
No, he's not.
He doesn't make it off the fucking... I mean, he makes it off the train, but not very far.
Yeah. I got to go with the Mist Pillar.
Really? No, yeah. That was not my answer, but... Yeah.
I mean, all the stuff you just said. He got wrecked a shop and by technically his ancestor. And
fucking disrespected too, because like he's like I was saying, he stabbed in here, yeah. Like he got him, and then that dude just cuts his arm off again to like get off me,
yeah,
rough.
So it's kind of sad because, like I said, he was super dope in there. I really liked this dude, and it's kind of tough to see, man. Like he got a good blow. He technically got one of the main blows to help take this guy out,
mm-hmm.
But then he's 14 too. At the end of the day, it's like he's a kid. Mm-hmm. Like that's a ninth grader, maybe a tenth, but like a ninth grader that fucking died.
Yeah.
In the heat of the most craziest battle of the world in this particular world. So I might have rushed my answer, but
no, listen, that's a good answer for all those reasons.
So wait, who do you have?
For me, it's actually somebody in that same fight. It's Genya, the other student. That had been with them that we haven't seen much on the show yet.
Yeah.
He's the other one that passed the exam with Tanjiro and the rest of them. He's got the mohawk. He's the Wind Ashira's brother.
Right. He gets smoked. He's getting smoked.
He gets smoked a few times. He's really the only student Demon Slayer of the main cast that we see get killed. And it comes at a moment that, like, he and his brother, the Wind Ashira, have been, like, butting heads this whole time.
Right.
Like, not getting along. They finally bury the hatchet. Because, like, Tanjiro had been telling him, like, listen, your brother doesn't hate you.
Yeah.
Like, I can smell, like, what he doesn't, like, he's gruff with you, but, like, he doesn't hate you. And you find out during that fight that the guy's like, I don't hate you. I'm mad that you became a Demon Slayer because I wanted you to be able to grow old and have kids and have a family.
Right.
But obviously that doesn't end up happening for him. Exactly what his brother was afraid of happening to him happens to him. Mm-hmm. He sacrifices himself he becomes a demon. He eats not only the Upper Moon's hair, but part of his sword.
Yeah.
Becomes a demon and basically rushes in, uses his because he's got a gun too.
Yeah.
He uses his bullets for like his blood demon art that like creates this tree to explode out of him, saps his blood. Another big reason why they were able to stop his healing factor, which was out of control.
Yeah.
One of the only reasons they did it is because he was able to like leech a lot of the blood out of there. And you find out like he and I felt like the moment between him and his brother, because like as he dies too, because he's a demon, he doesn't just like pass away. Like he dissolves and fades away like the rest of the demons do.
Yeah.
And you have to even wonder, like, does this guy go to hell because he basically ended his life as a demon? Like, you know, it was tough. Like it felt like one of the few deaths where you're just like, damn, this guy had a future ahead of him. Like, he could have gone on. Like, he's still young, kind of like the Mist Ashira, but, like, you know, he laid it all down on the line to take out number one.
I'm not going to lie. I wasn't a fan of the gun.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like the gun. I don't like the as the weapon. But because I felt like this stayed with the theme of what they were doing somewhat of, like, just those type of weapons. But it is what it is. I didn't have an issue with him. I thought he was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So next,
because he doesn't have any breathing either.
Right, exactly.
His deal is like he eats the demons. Like,
yeah.
So he turns them on their own weapon against him, you know, which I found interesting.
Yeah. All right. So next question. Were you surprised by, I think it's Kaguya's well thought out and executed plan, and where does it rank him among anime senseis?
Mm-hmm.
So that was Ice's question. Do you have an answer for that?
I mean, to me, I'm just like, and this kind of plays into the part where I'm like, I've read all of the manga. I finished this a few months ago. From what I remember, I don't remember his plan being super well thought out as far as, like, the final act. Like, it felt like he used himself as bait,
mm-hmm.
and he essentially sacrifices himself, right?
Yeah.
And basically sets the stage up for, like, all right, I got this guy where we want him. Let's all jump him all at once.
Right.
And I can certainly appreciate the fact that he sacrificed himself for the cause, especially knowing, like, he's probably not going to live that long anyway because he's cursed.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm like, man, I'm super impressed with that plan. Because even at the end of the day, he's just like, hope we can do it.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that he can possibly know other than just being optimistic that his guys are going to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially considering how many people he's seen die over the years and how long this conflict has been going. It goes the way it goes, but if it had gone left, he would have been very foolish. It would have been a terrible plan.
Yeah.
But that being said, I do like him as a character, especially since he believes in everybody. He believes in Nezuko from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I appreciate him as a mentor figure.
Yeah.
I appreciate him as, like, I think he is a great guide for mostly the Hashira, but I don't know that he definitely doesn't make my top five.
Yeah.
Senseis. He might crack my top 10. And the reason he wouldn't make it that high is because I don't feel like he has that much direct impact on our main characters. It's not like any of them really spend time with him and he, like, teaches them a technique or really takes him under their wing. He kind of is just like a rich benefactor that sets him up in his house and is like, you guys have access to all my funds and my grounds and all that.
Yeah.
And I will support you 110%. And that I'm like, okay, this dude is great. Yeah. I really like him in that he is clearly helping out the cause. But I feel like there are other characters within the show that are better sensei type characters than him. Where, like, even the guy that trains, I forget his name, but the dude with the big long mask, the former Water Hashira that trained Tanjiro, is a better sensei type character
absolutely.
Than he is.
I mean, even, what's his name? Zenitsu's a trainer.
Yeah.
You know, he got him to focus in, and you know, if you're going to master one thing, just master that one thing. Make sure you just master that one thing and do it the best.
Yeah.
You know, I'm with you. I feel like he's not necessarily a sensei at all, really. I feel like he's just, like, I don't know, like, the housing guy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like, because he didn't train a Hashira like that either, right?
No.
So it's like you didn't train any of the people that had the smoke in them.
He's physically weak. That's part of it, is he can't do it. That's why he has to rely on all these other people.
Right. So for even with him, it's like you're not even necessarily, even like some of the advice that you gave, it was like, yeah, you accepted Nezuko, but it's like, it's not you gave, like, yo, at least from what I remember, I don't remember him giving, like, Tanjiro a piece of information where it's like, this is the information that can save your life, or that this is going to take you to the next level, or if you remember this, and in that last heat of the battle, you can remember this, and your sword is going to turn red if you remember this particular thing at the right time.
Yeah, I feel like that happens maybe once or twice with the Hashira. That might even happen with the Mist Hashira, because I think when he thinks back on his moment of when he kind of was taken in, right? I feel like there's a few moments where the Hashira have a strong connection with this guy.
Yeah,
but our main cast, I feel like he's almost like a stranger to most of them.
Yeah.
Where they're kind of just like, okay, like, this guy's clearly powerful. He's got the respect of all the Shira, but, like, our main cast doesn't really seem to know him that well. That was my takeaway.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So next question is what is your favorite moment in the manga? Let's go. I got Ice's answer loaded up. Zenitsu. Yeah. His favorite moment was Zenitsu fighting his friend and killing his friend.
Mm-hmm.
That was a doubt. If you watch, I can't wait to see that fight animated. Because in the manga, it looked pretty damn dope.
Yeah.
And then you get to see Zenitsu's new form that he created himself.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see him take it there. And I feel like that fight had a lot of emotion to it. Because Zenitsu, he didn't know why he was who he was in the sense of, like, what he was going through. And even when his friend was just like, bro, like, we supposed to be cool. Like, why are we doing this? And then you got to do what you got to do, though, at the end of the day.
And especially because, too, he had that vengeance factor laying in there, too, because he had read that his master, his old man, the former lightning machine, had killed himself because out of dishonor because he found out his student had become a demon.
Yeah, he chose to, right?
Yeah, he chose to.
He chose to become a demon.
Because the master chose Zenitsu as his star pupil, and he's like, you're not going to pick me? Well, then fuck you.
Yeah.
I'll become a demon and then just become a stronger fighter using these techniques as a demon.
Dude, that fucking sucks, bro.
Fuck that dude.
You don't fuck with him.
The lower. No, fuck that guy. I don't feel like it's a spoiler to say he is at the bottom of my upper moon ranks.
Okay.
Fuck that dude.
All right, what was your favorite moment?
My favorite moment, and this is another one of those where I don't know if there's a wrong answer to this, but in this particularly wasn't necessarily a heavy action moment, but my favorite moment is actually Shinobu, the insect pillar, her final moments basically greeting the upper moon 2 on his way to hell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like where she had been ingested by him. She's already dead.
Yeah.
And she's basically waiting for him. And he's just like talking to her like, hey, you know, like maybe we can all go to hell together. And she just smiles at him and goes, you first, you worthless bastard.
Yeah.
And I fucking love that panel. I've screenshotted that. I think I've used it in text messages. Like, I just love that. Even at the end of the day, she was just like, fuck this dude. Like, I'll be waiting for you to be like, I'm the one that did it to you.
Yeah.
I'm the one that sent you on your way.
That's why she's at my top, man.
I'm like, that's a legit choice.
For me, I don't think mine's necessarily an action-heavy moment either, but it was, I forgot her name. I had it on Google, and I took it off. But the girl that actually, she's the one that, I think she's the one that put the poison in Muzan.
Mm-hmm.
The poison that Shinobi, Shinobu, whatever, I forgot her name, the insect pillar, that gave her. Remember that she was a demon also. She was a demon that kind of survived.
Oh, yes. Tamioka, is that it?
I forgot.
But I'll look it up, but you go ahead.
Yeah, when she pretty much was like, when he was like, yeah, he think he going to be all good. He was like, she put up on him like, fam, this poison in your body? He's like, what's happening? Why am I feeling this? She's like, that poison I put in your body, you thought you just got rid of me that easy? No, motherfucker. Like,
yeah.
This is how this goes. You're going to die. This poison that I put in you is aging you 50 fucking years a second or a minute, whatever it was. And I did this to you. Like, I put this in you, you little bitch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was Tamayo.
Yeah. And I was like, the way they drew that, I think she kind of caressed his face.
Yeah, she's like got him by the face, just like, yeah. I'm in here.
Yeah.
I'm in here with you.
Yeah, exactly. To me, that was so just like, yes, like, you think you're really going to win.
You thought.
It's okay. But you're out of here, bitch.
Yeah.
And so that, I don't know why that moment to me was just so significant in the manga. I mean, this whole fucking show, to be honest with you, do you have a question about that too? I forgot we had a question about, because I just wanted to say, like, I just loved how in this particular manga in general, like, when you got to certain parts, everybody had to help.
Yeah.
Majority of shows, like a lot of shows, it's the main character. I gotta fight through my will.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, bro. Like, Tanjiro, there's no way Tanjiro is able to beat all these demons and then fight the main fucking demon.
Nope. No.
He's dead. Didn't they tell him, like, yo, bro, we need you for some shit, other shit. Like, you need to go over. I think he ended up going to another room. I was like, yo, we need you to do some other shit, because if you fighting over here, it's like, yo, that's what I loved about this particular show, was that there was so much stuff going on, and every pillar, everybody meant something to help out in these fights.
Yeah, a lot of people had their moments.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's plenty of shows we watch where they set up cool characters and they, you know, like, they get their new form. You get to see them, like, show out a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's basically just to show, like, even with this new form, this character isn't as strong as the main character, who just seems to persevere via the power of friendship.
I mean,
you know?
low-key, is the main character technically the strongest character in this show?
I think it's... No.
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 To be honest with you, he can rank anywhere, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, not anywhere, but he can rank within, like, I feel like, maybe, like, three people.
Sure.
Or at least the two, the Stone.
Yeah.
The Stone of Sheer. Like, if you talk about pound for pound, they had to square off and fight.
Yeah.
Or even if he fought the insect pillar. If she hit him real quick with some insects, just like, yo, I poisoned you. Like, what are you talking about? You never, yeah.
I got you.
I poisoned you yesterday, motherfucker. Like, before the fight, I poisoned your ass.
Yes. No, and they say, like, Tanjiro, by the end of it, he's fighting on a Hashira level, but even if he was, that doesn't mean he's the strongest. And I think it's pretty clear that, even after everything, he's not.
Yeah.
He still has, by the end of it, not surpassed some of the other Hashira that he's fighting with, and have some that have died.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I agree. Is there anything you were hoping to happen by the end of the story that never did, Rob?
Yeah, there were, I mean, a couple things that I was like anticipating to happen or would hope it would happen. But the one of which I mentioned earlier was I hoped Zenitsu would unlock more of his techniques, which didn't really happen. But for me, the thing that I expected to happen and was hoping to see that didn't, I really wanted to see some of the older Hashiras get back and get into action and get after it.
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed that Zenitsu's master, you know, obviously he committed suicide, you know, honor suicide. And Tanjiro's master is basically relegated to babysitter duty. He's just watching Nezuko in this final battle. And I wanted to see that guy get back on the scene, avenge his lost students, work, like, you know, like, let's see what this guy can do.
Yeah.
Because you hear that he's a former Hashira. I mean, granted, he's an old man, but, like, this is the final battle. Like, this is it. Let's get everybody out there. Let's just see what everybody can do. And, like, even if he sacrifices himself or is just, like, a bit player, like, do something.
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed that we didn't get to see those other guys, like you said, see more of the lightning forms being used by a good guy. See, I mean, obviously, I don't think there's anything that old water shear could do that Giyu couldn't do.
Yeah.
But even just to see, all right, let's see what this guy, let's see what he's capable of.
Yeah.
You know, I was bummed that those guys never really came back around.
Yeah. I said that he wanted to see more of Tanjiro as a demon.
Okay.
That
would have been an interesting thing.
It's funny because that particular thing is what I didn't want that. I didn't like that.
Really? Okay.
I didn't like that they took that route. But I can get why you, if when it happened, you're like, all right, let's see that particular thing. I feel like you kind of said what I kind of said with just having the old pillars jump in, but can I think of anything else? I don't know. I guess if you're talking about even like, I think you kind of asked that question next.
I mean, were there any of the Shiri you wanted to see more of? I mean, I think there were a few. We didn't really get to see much at all, honestly.
This is what I wanted to see. I wanted to see, honestly, more of Inosuke and Zenitsu getting busy more. The last final few moments. They had moments here and there.
Sure.
But I honestly wish it was, if you're gonna do it, you set up these three main characters, or these three characters to be like the top three main guys anyways, in the sense of like that we're following. I wanted them three to do it together.
Yeah.
In the sense of probably winning that fight.
Sure.
And from what I remember, that's not what happened.
Not really. I mean, they're definitely in the mix, but...
But they don't... It's not like, yo, Zenitsu's... He tapped into, like, a super god thunder form, and this power moves on down to where he can't move, and then Inosuke did this particular last move to paralyze him, and then that's how it ends.
No, like, it's mostly Tanjiro and the Hashira at that point.
Yeah, and I would want to see... Even if... I don't mind the Stone Hashira still putting in work and getting busy... But I wanted to see them in that mix, too.
Mm. Yeah, Ice was saying you'd have to rework the story a little so there would be more pillars that are still alive. But he would have liked to have seen Tanjiro have fight some of the villain the pillars as a demon.
You just want like an alternate, like if they turn into demons or whatever?
Yeah, like I think that's what he's saying, like why he wished he had seen more of Tanjiro as a demon, is to see him kind of match up against the Hashira.
Because when that happened, I was like, oh shit. Because
everybody's fucked up at that point.
Yeah, but what I thought was going to happen was that was going to be the new story.
Yeah.
I was like, and we can kind of go into your next question.
Sure.
I guess we'll skip my question. Go into your. Do you think the story could go on in a modern context, setting like an epilogue?
Gotcha. I think it could be fun. I don't know if the thing that I kind of bump on, which is would be like, well, could they bring back the evil demons in a satisfying way? Because obviously you still have. Tamio's her ward, that young guy that was her like assistant, he's still out there.
Yeah.
So there is still a demon that's still out there, still alive, but he's clearly like keeping to himself. He's just painting his paintings. Like but I think the fact that, you know, you see so many of these the descendants of all of these characters come through, and obviously I realize that this is supposed to be sort of like karmic justice for them, that they get to live now in peace, having, you know, you know, worked so hard and sacrificed so much to defeat the demons. But also, I want to see demons in a modern context. I feel like that'd be super cool.
Yeah.
Like, and it could be like a Bleach thing where, like, oh, cool, you know, they still use their swords and such and so forth away. Like, they have to, like, conceal it and, you know, be, like, modern urban ninjas or something like that, which would be dope.
Yeah.
Or you could adapt that where it's just, like, take what Genya was doing with his gun stuff, transpose that into, like, modern-day weaponry and just, like, I don't know, maybe they got demons, like, having to contend with, like, AR-15s or something like that that have, like, you know, special metals, like, bullets in there. I think that I'd be down to just see the story continue just because I think it's such a cool world. And I'd be interested to see what other techniques or forms could come out of a more modern context.
Okay. Ice says, should there be an epilogue? He said, except for an epilogue, I guess he'd rather see Rengoku. He said he deserves more screen time, and he'd like to see a pillar-focused manga.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I think that's what they were talking about doing. They're going to do, like, a prequel to the Fire Shear, actually.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like, that whole setup of how that all that art even came about.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, for me, man. I feel like just in general, I feel like, I guess what I was just talking about, I would like to see if it's just like a whole, if we're going somewhere else, like you said, if you make it new, how would it even happen? Like, did Muzan, was he able to get, did he have like a backup plan?
Yeah.
And then he's like, yo, this is my body, but I always left a piece of my body somewhere else to make sure it can always get back and power back up.
And he's got a family too. I don't think we ever find out what happens to them, right?
Yeah, right.
When Tanjiro runs into him, he's got a wife and kid.
Yeah, and maybe he might have. If I can see something like, because here's the thing, they can probably even bring this back in the sense where, like, yeah, he had his kid. Like, he has a thing like in his house to where, like, if he dies or majority of his body dies, is that little piece is left? It just goes into his child, and his child becomes a new demon,
right?
And might even, since it's still Muzan's cells in him,
yeah,
like he can go and just start to take over, like, to rebuild this shit up.
Yeah.
And then now it might take years, but now, I mean, since all of them are going to pretty much die because they have, you know, the mark or whatever the case may be, it's like it has to be a descendant of Tanjiro.
Yeah.
And whatever the case may be, and or now, you know, him and, because he was with one of the bug pillars, right? Like, one of the bug pillars liked him.
Yeah, so he and, I forget her name, like Tamao or Takao or something like that.
She's a butterfly pillar, I think.
Yeah, it's the one that teamed up with Inosuke to take out the Upper Moon too. She and Tanjiro get together, and then Zenitsu and Nezuko get together.
So I mean, I would love to see, I guess, in that sense, like, maybe their children or grandchildren will have to now deal with this, and they have to kind of tap into it. I just want to know if will it be a repetitive cycle of, like, the same type of story? But I get those. That's what I would kind of want to see. All right, so I guess this is kind of like the last question until we go into, like, our rankings and stuff like that. Should the anime completely follow the manga, or manga should it have its own moments? Me personally, I definitely think the way, if you, no filler, well, they technically have filler in Demon Slayer. It'll be like manga chapter 51.1 or 51 and a half, whatever it's called. It's like this little, it'll have like little silly moments, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
But I think you just do this the way it is. I think they set it up. It's like, yo, here, the anime will be great if you just follow this shit right here. You will have, this is the formula to have one of the greatest, if not the greatest anime of all time. Just follow it as is.
Mm-hmm.
I think all you do is just make the anime, you make sure you just, whatever is drawn, you just make sure you make that shit way better animated-wise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you go off and you step off, if you have anything, you do anything different. I just don't, it's not needed.
Yeah. I would say stick to the script mostly. I would say, and obviously this risks into getting into filler territory, but I would say I think there are parts of the story that you could expand.
Yeah.
Whereas like finding out more about Zenitsu's classmate that went bad. I would like to see more about how that came about.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that we hear about both Zenitsu and Inosuke getting their own solo missions.
Yeah.
I'd like to see some of that. So we get to spend more time with some of those characters and see some of those moments, like you were saying, you want to see them get after a little bit more.
Yeah.
You would have liked to spend more time with them and see them get the shine a little bit more. Even though they have their moments, it's very few solo moments.
Yeah.
I would like to see them kind of doing their own solo missions. Just like, okay, Tanjiro's laid up in bed, healing for 2 months.
Yeah.
Let's just go spend some time with Zetsu and see how he got better and see how, like, he developed this new technique and this new style and how he, you know, managed to stay awake and still use his techniques. I would like to see more of that. Or even with Genya, you know, like, see what this guy's been up to. Because he was training with the Stone Hashira, I believe. Yeah. So I would like to see more stuff with some of the other students. I don't know that that'll happen. Probably not. But if I were going to expand it at all, I would do that. But otherwise, stick to what you got. You got something here that's broke, don't try to fix it. That ain't broke, don't fix it.
I'm not going
to
fight you on that. Because, I mean, as long as you're giving us about that action still and those particular things, and it's not like just some silly filler to where it's like, you know, they're going off and they're going to do this stupid, super just janky mission to where it's like they're just having fun and they're kind of cracking jokes. Like, uh-oh, I hurt my head and stupid shit like that.
Yeah, I don't want that.
I don't care. And I said the same thing. I was like, just like, yo, don't change shit. Keep it where it is.
Sure.
And I agree. Just like, there's not much you have to change, but the stuff that you presented, I'm not opposed to, really.
As long as it's not too hammy and jokey and like, because obviously with both of the other two, with most of the other Demon Slayer students, like especially Zenitsu and Inosuke, it's like they kind of present the comic relief and they can be a little goofy.
Yeah.
As long as you don't veer into too goofy, you keep that like thriller or horror element and make them kind of buckle down and have their own moments, I think it could be really cool.
Okay. So we're going to get to the last part of this. We're going to get into We're gonna rank the pillars ourselves. How we rank the pillars?
Yeah.
I guess he didn't remember all of them, so he just put his top five.
Okay. I mean, hey, that's after that. I mean, I don't know how different it gets.
So he put at number one the stone pillar. He said it's one of the few animes that actually lives up to the hype of an earth or a stone type pillar.
Sure.
Because I guess like, and I didn't see Avatar, but they said the earth one guy could have been way better than what he was.
Maybe in Korra, but I feel like, at least in Avatar, Toph is like my favorite character.
Oh, is it?
And she's fucking dope.
Is she? Okay.
Yeah, she's one of my favorite. She's my favorite character on Avatar's Toph, and she's like the Earthbender.
Okay. So he has a stone pillar number one. He has a snake pillar number two. Dope character design, he said, and I like his no nonsense attitude. Rengoku, delicious. That's all he said. Rengoku at three. Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
number four. He has a sound pillar, great character design. Two swords on your back is damn near an automatic like for me. And he says he has bitches. That's
I mean, he's not wrong there.
Yeah. He has wives. He has multiple wives.
It's true. They are his. He put a ring on them.
Yeah, you can't call them like bitches because he put the ring on
them. He made honest women out of them.
Exactly. The water pillar. He loves that he mentors Tanjiro and he's always with the shits. That's Giyu. That's he's up there. He says his least favorite is the wind pillar. He's the Bakugou of Demon Slayer.
Really? Wow. Okay.
He is a little angry, but I feel like
he definitely is.
But I feel like they haven't got to that in the anime yet. I feel like Inosuke is more the Bakugou than he is. Okay. But well, I guess we'll see what happens when the manga gets animated. We'll see how that particular.
Do you want to run through your rankings, or do you want me to do mine?
I'll do mine. Okay. So my Hashiras, I got the stone pillar also at number one.
Really? Okay.
I got him at number one because I think when he's fighting the number one demon, he's like, yo, bro, you're the strongest person I've seen in like 300 years.
He does say that.
So that's some out the gate, like in 300 years, he's just like, yo, it's been centuries since I even seen anybody as strong as you, which makes me want to see the prequels now. Mm-hmm. I do want to see these other like Hashiras, these other dudes that were like, possibly the dude that was just as strong as him or stronger than him.
Yeah.
And I want to know who the fuck it was. Which Hashira it was. Was it another stone one? Was it the water pillar?
Yeah.
Second, the insect pillar.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Bold choice.
Yeah. The insect, I mean, from what I said earlier.
It's, I get it. No,
it's,
I get
it's,
it.
It's all the things I was saying earlier about her is that it's not just that she's not necessarily the strongest, but
MVP plays.
Yeah, MVP plays. She's one of the most dangerous, if not the most dangerous one in the sense where her getting shit done. And she's one of the main reasons why the two of the biggest demons out of all of them get smoked out.
Yeah.
It's her. Without her poison in either one of these, this doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen at all. Three, Miss Pillar.
Okay.
I actually was going between her and the Miz pillar the whole time. Like I said, you pretty much said everything I was saying earlier, but yeah, he's 14 years old.
He's
fucking 14.
He's dope.
He's 14 years old. He's 14 and he's smoking motherfuckers out. He beat, like you said, he beat a demon by himself. And that demon wasn't no slouch. Demon in that little...
The jar thing.
Yeah. Going from jar to jar, and then he has like another fucking form.
Yep.
Like, he beat that dude by himself. Got to give him his props. He's actually the first person to turn his blade red.
That's true.
Out of all of them, he's the first person that does. At 14!
He's prodigy.
The first person that turns his blade red out of all of them. He's a descendant, like you said, descendant of the number one demon, and he pretty much gives him that damn near main blow to get him to get defeated. So he put that work in, he deserves it. Next, I would have to go with the Wind Pillar.
Okay.
I feel like like you said, he took crazy damage and he was still fighting unconscious. Like to me, that's a boss move right there. Mm-hmm. I got to give you top game for that. Four, I got to go with the Snake Pillar. Before he even gets his red mark on it, his mark on his face, he's keeping him a moves on. Like he wasn't keeping up with him, but he was keeping up with his moves. He wasn't getting smoked out. So like out the gate without even turning his mark on his face.
Yeah.
He was hanging in there already. I got to give him props
for
that.
That's
true. And actually, he turned his blade red too. So
he did.
Yeah,
I believe he did as well, yes.
Yeah, he did all that before he turned it, before he got his mark and before he turned his blade red. Number five. Or six, whatever. Giyu. He's been my guy the whole time. He's been my favorite. But when I look back at it, he's had moments where he didn't show up.
Yeah.
When he's fighting Muzan, like, I'm surprised he didn't do more in any of these fights. He didn't take out a demon.
That's true.
He gets his mark towards the end, too. But I still love him. I still think he's my favorite character design on the show. He's still, in a sense, right now, we'll see how the anime does him. Because he's kind of my style, how I always kind of like those kind of low-key kind of like characters like that.
I agree.
They make him kind of socially awkward, and I think that's what's funny about him, too. I had him kind of lower than what people might expect.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
The Love Pillar, I had her right after that.
Mm-hmm.
She has a moment, but I just didn't care much for her.
Yeah, I mean, she helps take out, what was it, Upper Moon 4.
Yeah, Upper Moon 4, and then Tanjiro's getting the main kill, but like she it's pretty much all majority of her work.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave her respect right there. Before 7th or 8th, I'm at 8th actually, Rengoku, man. I know Ice likes this guy, but I'm gonna be real with you. He got smoked out, I know by top demon, and he didn't get the mark on his face or nothing like that.
Nope.
He's technically not as strong as people think he is. He's cool.
Cool dude.
But if I'm ranking up from like, you know, the damage that they was doing, he didn't really do much. And then last but not least, the Sound Pillar, yes, you know, he has three wives, but he got his ass whooped so bad he retired. Like when you get your ass beat so fucking bad, you're like, they literally come up to him. He's lost an arm. I forgot who came up to him, but one of the pillars is like, yo, bro, you let this particular demon that's not even that strong, you let this motherfucker take an eye and an arm from you?
That's true.
Are you fucking serious?
Yeah. No, upper six.
Yeah, it was just like that. That's one of the weaker moons, fam. Yo, man, here's we're gonna put you. We shouldn't put your jersey in the rafters.
Ouch.
We shouldn't even put your shit in the rafters. Cause I don't even think he had help winning that fight, didn't he?
I mean, he definitely had some moments.
He had mad help in that fight, actually.
But he did have a lot of fight, or he did have a lot of help because it was him, and obviously all three of the main kids.
Yes.
And his wives.
And his wives helping out, shooting like little shit here and there.
I mean, it's technically like two demons, so I don't know if you want to get into that, but like, that's...
Bro.
No, I don't disagree.
Bro, you retired. You got beat so bad, you... Go ahead, man.
Well, I'll go from the bottom to the top just because I think, funny enough, our bottom is the same. the Sound of Sheer is I have him on the bottom. It's not that I dislike him because he has moments. I think even within that fight, he has moments where you're like, oh shit. Because he actually cuts off the woman Upper Moon's head first, like immediately.
Yeah.
Like shows up on the scene and just like takes it off. And if it weren't for her creepy, skinny, weird looking brother,
yeah,
that would have been it.
Yeah.
But he gets poisoned. It slows him down. He like gets his basically. I mean, the thing is, he's not part of the team that makes that final kill. It's, I believe, the three kids that manage to get that decapitation.
And he don't get the mark either.
He does not.
Yeah.
So he's on the bottom for me. Also, second from the bottom for me was Rengoku for similar reasons. I mean, the guy, I like him. He's a good character.
Yeah.
But he just doesn't meet the potential that the rest of the Hashiras get to. He's out early.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of bumped him up a bit just because he kind of gets to live on a little bit by having his the blade protector, the flame thing that goes on Tanjiro's sword. So he at least it's you know, he's in there.
And technically, Tanjiro kind of keeps going back to his family in a sense of like learning.
He's a part of the story, it feels like.
Yeah.
I have Obani, the serpent Hashira, after that. It just felt like I didn't. You raise good points. And for me, it's less about his lack of ability and more about, like, I really didn't feel like we spent that much time with him.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen more. I felt like I was hearing a lot about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
But even when you're seeing all these fights happening in that final fight,
mm-hmm.
you're not really seeing what's going on with him in the Love Hashira.
Yeah,
because the two of them are like teamed up against the Baowai, like the Upper Moon Four, the new Upper Moon Four. It's the two of them teamed up against her.
This is the
Serpent Hashira.
Oh, the snake.
Yeah. The snake guy. I just feel like you didn't really see much of him.
Got it.
The most of the time you see him is actually in that when they're facing off against Muzan, which he does hang in there.
Yeah.
But he gets his face all sliced up. He's getting kicked into walls. It's like, you know, it's just like I felt like. I would have liked to have seen him get another cool moment or two. I felt like he was one of the few that didn't get like a, whoa, this dude just like pulled something crazy out of the bag.
Yeah.
After that, you know, can't have these two separate because obviously they're meant to be. I got the Love Hashira after that. Mitsuri, for all the reasons that we mentioned. She definitely helps out against the original Upper Moon Four. I think she's just a fun character. She gives Tanjiro the heads up of like, hey, there's the hidden like sword in this town that can make you way stronger. She's like one of the only Hashira that's like down to help Tanjiro from the get-go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, and she's just like, she's cool. She also like puts herself out there, sacrifices herself. You know, her goals and her wants and needs are maybe a little silly, maybe a little sexist. The fact that she's just there looking for a husband, but you know, at the end of the day, like she still gets it in. For me, I have the insect Hashira after that, Shinobu. You know, obviously her fight against number two was, she wasn't in that fight long, but her impact was felt.
Yeah.
And obviously she leads into the win against Muzan as well. I actually have the Mist Hashira after that. Big fan of him for all the reasons that we've said earlier. I have as number three, I have the Wind Hashira, and I'll tell you why. Because there's a character that we meet early on in the show, even in the first season, where you find out he's a Mirechi, and he's got like some very rich like demon bait blood. And we're like, what are you going to do if you're this guy? You should become a demon slayer, because they're going to be coming after you anyway.
Yeah.
And that's exactly who the Wind Hashira is. You find out in the book that he's not only a Mirechi, he's got the rarest of the rare blood, to the point where demons will be so enamored with the hunger that they will like freeze in place and be paralyzed and fight as if they're drunk because they want his blood so badly. And for him to like have that as a part of his identity and be like, you know what, I'm going to go hunt these motherfuckers down.
That's tough.
It's pretty boss. And, you know, obviously he's got a lot of tough love. He's definitely a Bakugo-type character, which, as I said before, not necessarily my favorite. But, you know, he's there for his family. Like, he it's tough love. And the fact that he fights until he's literally unconscious. I think he's the only Hashira that lives and has all of his limbs at the end of all this. Mm. I think he might be the only one.
Let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Did that ever work, the whole being drunk over his blood? I forgot if that worked on the demon or not.
I think it stops the Upper Moon one for like a fraction of a second, because he's like, what the fuck is going on? And it was right after he had gotten all carved up.
Got it.
What's also interesting, too, that you have to think about in hindsight, is when they first bring Nezuko to the mansion, it's him that slices his arm open. It's just like, you want some? And she's able to resist that.
I didn't even think about that.
She's able to resist the best of the best human blood.
You out here just denying New York pizza? That's what that is. That's the best pizza out there.
And she was immediately just like, you know what? No.
Because I forgot to say all this stuff too, but did he get the see-through, the vision, where he can see her?
He definitely gets his mark. But I don't know that he gets I don't think he goes into the invisible world.
Who got that again? The mist?
Mist definitely gets it.
Stone.
And Stone. And got it. Tanjiro. I don't know if anybody else does.
Got it. Okay.
I have, as number two, I have the Stone Hashira, because he's dope. And then I have Giyu. I have the water as my favorite.
You have the water as your number one?
I do. I just think he's so dope. I love that 11th that he is able to, he invents his own technique.
He does.
Which not many of the others can say.
I mean, Zenitsu did.
Zenitsu did.
Yeah.
But I can't think of another one.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why, I mean.
I guess Zenitsu, and actually, Inosuke is... invented his entire own style.
Yeah.
So it's true. But I just love his 11th form, like just the water, like tranquility that just like neutralizes shit.
Yeah.
The fact that he's just like, for the most part, just like even keel, just like whatever we got to do. The fact that he brings Tanjiro in. If not for this dude, there's no show.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
There's no show.
Yeah.
He gives Tanjiro, he's like, hey, master, like this kid reminds me a lot of you. He's got the same abilities as you. Mm-hmm. He's clearly able to, to hang with the best of the best. But even though he doesn't feel like he can, dude's got imposter syndrome. I can relate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I appreciate him as a character. Is he the strongest? No. Is he my favorite? No. But I like him. I don't know. I put him up at the top.
Hey, I'm not going to fight.
He's alive at the end of the day.
Hey, I'm not going to fight you on that. I'm not going to fight you. Because like I said, he's who I rock with majority through the thing anyway. Like I said, I haven't said he's my favorite in general. So I 100% get it. All right. So this is pretty much the last part. Who's your top Upper Moon? So Ice got his down, and it was Upper Moon number two first.
Okay.
Upper Moon number three.
Okay.
Upper Moon number one. The teapot moon that fought the love filler.
Wow, okay.
And then he says, I don't remember the rest.
Gotcha.
So, you want to go first with your moon?
Sure.
Your moon ranking?
Sure. Well, actually, I think no, never mind. It doesn't matter. I'll go again from the bottom. My bottom, like I said, is the replacement Upper Moon 6, Kagyu, or Kaigaku, which was Zenitsu's former classmate. Just kind of a bitch ass move, like just sold out his whole fucking school. Fuck that guy. Yeah. Got no respect for him. He gets his first demon fight. He gets killed by Zenitsu. Like, so I got nothing good to say about this guy. My second least favorite is Namike, which is the replacement Upper Moon 4, which is she's the Biwa demon, the one that plays the guitar. She doesn't really do anything. She thinks she beat the love and serpent Hashira, only to find out that she's just been had mind games played on her because Tamiya's got her guy's got his fingers in her head.
Yeah.
He's making her hallucinate. And she actually hasn't done shit.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, she's kind of cool, but she doesn't actually do anything.
Yeah.
I would say my number after that, my next least favorite is Gyoko, which is the jar demon, the Upper Moon 5. This is the guy that the Mr. Shira destroyed. I just didn't like his look. He's gross to look at.
He is.
I didn't really find him all that appealing. I thought he was kind of lame. I didn't really like him. After that, I would have the Entertainment District demons, the ones that are about to come up in Season 2, the Upper Moon Rank 6s, just because, I mean, the fact that they were Upper Rank 6s and they caused that much of a problem, like, they took out Hashira as an Upper Moon 6.
Yeah.
And they, at first, for a second, I thought they killed Inosuke when they put the scythe through his chest.
Right, yes.
Like, they fucked up Tanjiro. They fucked up everybody.
Yeah.
When these guys fought, I was like, I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
These guys were a problem. After that, I have the Upper Moon 4, which was the emotions demon, the guy that could kind of change his form over and over again. That was Tanjiro's first Upper Moon kill. Mm. I had him as my next one. After that, I have the Upper Moon 2. He's my number 3 is 2, just because of everything we mentioned. He's creepy dude, ice powers. Obviously he takes out the bug Hashira, at his own cost.
Yeah,
but he does take her out. And then I have Akaza, the Upper Moon Rank 3, as my number 2, and I have Kokushibo, the Upper Rank 1, as number 1, just because that dude was a fucking monster.
Yeah,
and he took out. He took out one kid and another Hashira.
Yeah.
And almost took out another two. He almost took out the stone. It took the stone,
yep,
the wind, and the mist Hashira, plus that other student to take him down. And he took out half of them with him.
Yeah. Well, that's why I got to go. I'm going from top to bottom. He's my number one.
Yeah.
I like his character design, too.
Yeah, and somebody was asking which pillar has the most drip, which I know we're talking about. I know we're talking about the moons right now. But
if we're going drip, I can answer that real quick. That's why I gotta go. Might have to go with Giyu, the water pillar.
Okay,
He's my favorite in the sense of the drip. I'm looking to if somebody has like a dope sweater, hoodie, or jacket of that style. I've been seeing a few, but some of them look a little bit cheap. But I want a jacket of his the way his I don't know what it's called, but like his
like checkerboard thing he's
got
going
on. I want that half and half cool. sweater somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. For me, I'd probably pick the Serpent Hashira. He's got like the different colored eyes, which is kind of cool. He's got the heterochromia, and then he's got like his mouth covered, like looks like the ninja style. He just looks dope. Another reason I wish we'd spent more time with him.
Yeah. I feel like a few of them could have got some more screen time, to be honest. So for me, ranking, like you said, number one, I like this moon's character design, the crazy, like, fucking, what, six eyes, whatever it is. It just looked crazy.
Yeah.
His backstory was dope. To me, he was more interesting than Muzan.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, like, his whole backstory, everything setting up and leading up to him and his brother and stuff that. I think it's hilarious that you're the older brother and you're weaker than your younger brother.
Yeah.
That really happens. It's normal. I'm a younger brother. For the life of me, I can't beat my older brother. I just can't do it.
The fact that his whole rage and motivating factor is like, if my younger brother hadn't gotten old and died, I'd be dead right now because he would have killed me.
Yeah, exactly. Because his younger brother had the scar and he stayed alive for years.
Yeah, because that's the thing is he was just like, if you get the mark, you die before 25.
Yeah.
But that was what enraged him about seeing his brothers. His brother lived to like 80 or whatever.
Yeah.
Even though he had the mark. And he's just like, that shouldn't be possible.
Right.
The whole reason I became a demon is so I could keep living even though I had this, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's kind of got a little bit of order. Number two, he was next in line because of Moon number two, just because, he was funny. He was wild. He was crazy. He was psychotic.
Yeah.
I think he had a lot of depth to him. And then, even though he got taken out, I feel like his personality was just so wildly different from what I'm used to seeing.
Yeah.
That I was just like, all right, this guy, he's interesting.
Everybody was so serious.
Exactly. He was just like, when he got his head, he's like, what are you doing? Hey, man, come on, man. I guess he's the comedian of the group. And as a comedian myself, as a stand-up comedian, I was just like, I resonate with this guy a little bit, man. He can go on stage. He can do a hot 25. He can feature for me if he was still alive. If he was still alive, I have him feature for me.
That's funny, man. Yeah, and I mean, even when after like fighting with everybody, he's like, oh, we should all hang out.
Yeah.
They send him back to his cult, and he's just like, like alone again.
Yeah, so after that, I got Upper Moon number three. I just think, like, same with his story. I just think I like his character design, too.
He had his dope. The tattoos are dope. Yeah. It's a dope look.
He actually might be my favorite demon character design.
Yeah.
He was super dope. He got busy. He took out Hashira. He almost took out with another one, didn't he?
I mean, he would have taken out Tanjiro and Giyu.
Yeah, but
had he not been like, I'm just gonna go to hell and face my punishment like a man, is essentially what he does.
Yeah.
And then attacks himself.
So he technically got an L. We can't even call that an L.
Not really.
He technically doesn't even have an L. So
they cut off his head and he kept going.
Yeah. So
I don't know what you can say to that.
Yeah, I get what you have. Number two, I won't dispute that. I got him at number three. I get it.
Yep.
I got Upper Moon number five next. That's the dude in the pot. I had him next.
Okay.
I didn't actually put the first six in there.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
I will put that. I will put him after this one. Fifth.
Okay. Sure.
Since you said that, I'll put him technically the next one, and then I will actually have Zenitsu's
really?
Buddy. I'll have him next. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I just like their battle.
It's a cool fight.
Yeah, I like their battle. I like their history. It's not much of him in there.
Man,
but
he's a sucker. Like, fuck that guy.
But he shows up, and I'm glad that he brought the best out of Zenitsu because, Zenitsu being the character that he was, he helped Zenitsu's character development.
I agree.
And I can 100% appreciate that. And then I got to go Upper Moon 4, who gets beat by the Love Pillar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, last but not least, I got to go with, like you said, saying, well, you didn't go with her. You went with us, and that's who's boy last.
Yeah, I put him last.
Last is the replacement. She essentially does nothing.
She doesn't do anything.
Because if you have a cool power, but you're weak, like the insect pillar, she has poison, and she made sure she showed the fuck up.
Yeah.
You have you're not strong, but you could have probably used your powers differently, and you did nothing. Except in the first few episodes when you kind of just smacking people to other rooms, right? Wasn't that her?
Yeah, she separates them.
She's separating them,
That's it. She thinks she's killed two Hashira, but actually has done nothing.
Done not a damn thing.
Yeah.
So let us know in the comment section, what y'all stuff is, what y'all favorite Hashiras are, how y'all rank them. And also let us know, rank your demons also. Let us know. And I mean, shoot, let's what next time on the show we're doing.
We'll be back to Bleach
episodes with 13 through 16.
13 through 16.
I haven't watched them yet. You watched them already?
I have not. I haven't picked up on this homework yet, but you know, looking forward to it. It's been good so far. It's been a good show.
I think I think Brennan will be back by then. And then I feel like we got a good podcast coming to, for you guys right after that, man.
Yeah,
I'm excited about that particular episode. You got any? Let's do Ice Out McGowan on all social media stuff.
Who would also say that this is the greatest
fucking anime podcast in the world
of all time,
of the entire world? It's the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world. This is me doing Ice's hair since I don't have any. Greatest fucking. Yeah, so you wanna drop your hand? Oh yeah, Brennan.
Brennan the best on Instagram.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, actually, I'm gonna give a quick shout out to Ben Wilkins. I know he's in the chat today.
Yeah,
Ben reached out. He let me know that he was excited for today's episode. He was looking forward to us talking about all the Demon Slayer manga stuff. He also hooked me up with our artist shout out this week, which is Vishal. Prazad 84. I'm sorry if I butchered that, but their art is incredible. It's really cool, like colored pencil and like glow art stuff. A lot of anime inspired stuff in there. So this is spelled VISHAL_PRASAD84 on Instagram. Check them out. They got some really cool stuff. Check that out.
Oh, that's fire.
Yeah, they got some cool stuff. Some really cool stuff. Check them out on Instagram.
I like the glow in the dark. Like, look, it's glowing in the dark a little bit.
Yeah, it looks like it's like a colored pencil style, but they use color in such a way that it looks like everything's kind of like glowing or like, you know, like.
That's color pencil?
It looks like it. I'm sure for this glow effect, he must be using like some sort of. But like, I mean, look at this. He's the One Punch Man drawing. Like, it could very well be just like colored pencil, maybe with like a little bit of digital work.
It's
very cool stuff.
That's dope as hell. Follow me on Keenan Baker on every single thing. The Animation Pod on Twitter, Animation Podcast on Instagram, Patreon.com/Animation SHUN. Please join us live stream. Like I said, I'm doing a movie night. I said he has a movie night coming up soon, I believe, too. I'm not sure of the day, but we'll give you the day of that. So y'all get two movie nights in a month. And you know, I got another video I'm gonna be dropping for you guys coming up soon. And yeah, man. You know, Cash App, Animation Pod, too.
Check us out.
You want to drop a little Cash App in there?
Yeah. Jump into the Patreon so you can get into our live chats. We're streaming this live right now. We stream our shows Monday at 4 p.m., which, you know, is four or five days before the episode drops.
Yeah.
You can get it early. You can talk with us live on air. We've got a bunch of people in here. We got a great crowd every week. So, yeah, join the Patreon and then hop in the stream.
Yeah, man. Thank you guys always, man, for tuning in to another episode. Animation. We out.
And so anime was solved forever.